listening to another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at fancypantsgangsters.com. Because those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet.
In part by hopcharger.com.
I feel like we should toast.
Because we're actually drinking beer?
Well, there's that too.
Brought to you in part by hopcharger.com. I am Dave. With me, as always, is the J to my silent Bob.
I think for Christmas, I'm going to get you a thesaurus just so that you can send plaudits upon me with proper vocabulary.
My faithful cohort.
Wait, I'm the annoying one if I'm the JD or Silent Bob.
That's true.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I hate you.
See how that worked? Evan Peterson.
How's it going? The reason why I wanted to cheers us or to toast us, whatever the word I used was, was we're drinking beer in fancy glasses, fancy proper beer glasses,
as opposed to fancy beer out of cheap glasses.
They're fluted like a
floated.
Woman. They're floated. They're not even. They're neither actually. They're just. They're angled. They're curved like a beautiful woman with a large head.
Heed pants now.
Yes. Anyway. I need to see that movie again.
God, that's a good one.
That is a good movie.
Every 6 months or so, I break that sucker out.
Of course, we're talking about So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Nancy Travis.
Nancy Travis just in and of itself. Like, I'll watch.
1990s Nancy Travis is about as good as it gets.
Yeah, but I liked her in the Bill Engvall show. Like, the few episodes I watched.
The fact that you're admitting that you actually watched the Bill Engvall show.
I watched it for her, though.
The sound off? Pants around the ankles type of deal?
No. Okay. See, I'm classy.
Uh-huh.
I don't watch TV like that. So I just gotta keep the sound on.
Uh-huh. With the girlfriends in the room.
No.
Fiance, excuse me.
No.
Anyway. We are at Everest on Grand Avenue in beautiful, snowy, cold, bitterly cold downtown St. Paul. Excuse me, not downtown St. Paul, South St. Paul.
Yeah, get it right.
Sorry. We're right directly off of Grand Avenue, just down from Dale Street, for those of you who live locally. Give you a perspective.
But if you don't live locally, it doesn't matter really where the hell you where
exactly.
We are any week, because
anyway.
You're not going to any of these places.
They specialize in Nepali and Himalayan cuisine, which is, we've done Indian food before, but this is kind of a slight takeoff, and we'll kind of maybe notice the difference. Probably not, but
it's primarily like Northern Indian, which is very different than Southern Indian, which sounds stupid, but it actually makes sense. You know,
it only sounds stupid when it comes out of your mouth.
I'm trying to remember what the difference is. If I remember it, like the South is much more tropical.
Imagine.
Fuck you. I'm trying to.
What else do you got for me, Phil Nye?
For once on this show, I'm trying to inject a little bit of actual food knowledge into the show.
Really?
You spit on that.
You're the one interjecting the food knowledge into the show.
One of us has to, because you're clueless.
Wow. Wow.
Fine, correct me then.
No, I have no idea. I wanted you to.
Want
to
be Alton Brown here?
I want to hear what else you have to say.
I'm just saying. Southern is you're going to see a lot more fruit, mangoes, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in Northern is a lot, it's very meat-based, a lot more dairy.
Mm-hmm.
When you kind of get up into like Mongolia and that area, there's, you know, a lot of meat, you know, yak, which we're going to have tonight. I'm very excited.
You're doubling down on the yak.
I don't think I've ever had yak.
No, you're having goat.
No, I'm not. You're having goat.
No, I'm not having goat. I'm having lamb.
Well, neither of us is having goat then, because mine has yak in the name, so I'm assuming there's yak.
But we're having.
Then we're having other yak later.
Yeah, or you're doubling down on the yak.
I'm mega yakking it tonight.
You're yakking it up.
I'm yakking it up.
Oh my god.
That may be the name of the show.
I'm gonna go ahead and just slice my wrist right now.
Well, good. It'd finally be a good show.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're a terrible person.
Yeah. Well. It happens.
The holiday season was upon us.
True.
Yeah, I had my first family holiday meal last night.
Oh.
The traditional Norwegian dinner at my grandmother's.
I saw that you posted the table setting.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that it's hard to explain to the rest of your family that you're tweeting.
Especially your family.
Yeah, that is completely...
Your family doesn't strike me as terribly savvy.
Technical savvy.
Just savvy in general.
No, they are.
They're not sharp people, is what I'm saying.
They're not technically sharp people.
I'm calling your family stupid. Okay, just let me do that. Give this to me.
Well, you take everything away from me. Why should I let you have that?
That's a true point.
Well, we had our first holiday meal, which is a traditional Norwegian Scandinavian or Scandinavian meal that my grandmother makes every year for pretty much both the immediate family and then some cousins. And oftentimes it can include aunts and uncles depending on who's in town. It is a time where we actually are all together during the holidays, and it's typically a couple weeks before. Mm-hmm. So I think we're T-minus 20 days out, 19 days out.
It's the 6th, yeah. So... As we record this, it's the 6th, so yeah. 19 days.
Yeah. So it's far enough out so we all can be there and you don't have anybody else's families or anything like that interfering. So it's a good time to get together, but we have the traditional lutefisk dinner.
Lutefisk.
which the funniest description of it is that I found online was Norwegian charcuterie.
Which, that's not even right.
Yeah,
like, that doesn't even make sense. How does that make sense?
Well, you know what charcuterie is.
Yes. Yeah.
It's kind of along the same lines, except you're using
fish.
Except
it's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yes, it is terrible.
See, charcuterie, and I'm sure one of us is pronouncing this wrong.
No, it's...
You got it right. It was like charcuterie.
I know, but I...
You feel like you should be adding a French into there.
No, I've heard it said a couple times, and by actual chefs.
People that know.
Gotcha. People in the know.
But to me, that is a sacred and almost holy concept.
It is nowadays. It didn't used to be.
Oh, yeah, fine.
I think it's the hip now with it and wow type of deal.
Well, yeah, whatever.
It was the funniest way, I think.
But to me, that implies a certain level of quality that I feel lutefisk does not bring to the table.
It brings no quality to the table. it is disgusting. I actually read a quote from Jeffrey Steingart, who is typically one of the judges on Iron Chef. He's the loose-jawed guy. The
guy who hates everything.
Yeah, but he's also wrote a book called The Man Who Ate Everything.
Yes, and he looks it.
But he actually writes in there, lutefisk is not food. Lutefisk is a weapon of mass destruction. It is, I will gladly eat grubs and worms. I will not eat lutefisk. Which is saying something coming from a guy that, you know, eats all sorts of stuff all over the world, but also eats on Iron Chef, which at times can get a little dicey.
Yeah,
in my opinion. But for those of you who don't know, lutefisk is an acquired Norwegian, but very highly concentrated in the Minnesota Lutheran sect.
Yes.
And it's a dried white fish, and the preparation
presumably cod, I think, is the normal.
Sometimes, most normally, it's just a white, whatever white fish is coming up.
Whatever's crappy. We don't care
exactly. And what happens is it gets frozen on the ship, and then it's sent into water after it's dead, and then it gets cleaned, and then it goes back in the water for 6 days. Okay.
But it's not water.
No, hold on.
Oh,
you gotta, there's it's got to soak in the water for 6 days. Just the fillets. Then you take it out, and it gets preserved in lye. And for those of you who don't know, lye is basically a plant killer.
It's a defoliant.
It will effectively kill plants. It's a hazardous toxin.
It's like bleach.
Yeah.
It's like bleach.
Yeah, but powdered. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is meant to kill things. Mostly plant life. But
I bet you those fillets, not a molecule of plant life on them.
Well, they store them in there, I believe, for up to a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And so it dries out and becomes almost like a dried jerky almost.
Uh-huh.
and then it gets reconstituted in the water, and you change the water every 6 days or so until the pH level actually becomes edible to eat. And then once it is at edible form, then you're able to package it up, ship it off to wherever, and consume it. And it is boiled in its own juices and a little bit of water, and then you eat it.
See, what bothers me about this is at no point in any recipe should it be
poison be involved?
Yeah, well, there's that, but it's just we have to keep preparing this, otherwise it will kill you.
Right. You have to keep rinsing and rinsing and rinsing and rinsing.
You know, I can't think of any food.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, you know, uncooked chicken, but that's not even a definite.
Right.
You eat lye, you are definitely dead.
Yeah, it is. I can remember vividly remembering when my grandmother up at our family's cabin in northern Minnesota, she would want plants not to grow or weeds not to grow in certain areas of the yard.
Mm-hmm.
She would pour lye on the plants to kill them. Mm-hmm. And it'd be like a burnt spot in the lawn the next time you come up. Effectively eating a fish that has been, for lack of a better term, cooked in this.
It's been defoliated.
Defoliated. Oh my, yeah, it's... When it comes out of the pan, that's really the money shot, if you will, because...
Which is appropriate given the consistency of the fish.
Well, that's the thing. It's moving like jello. I mean,
literally, it's fish jelly.
It literally moves back and forth like jello. The way you eat it, you take a piece of potato lefse and you put that sumbitch down on your plate.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take a little bit of butter and just kind of... That's kind of like a mayo layer, if you will.
Yes.
Not the thickness that you would put on mayo, but a mayo layer nonetheless.
I like my mayo.
I know you do. And then you take a mashed potato layer.
Yes.
And you it's like forming a burrito.
It is.
And you put down a layer of those mashed potatoes. Make sure it's even, covering all sides of the lefse, or all the entire span of the lefse. And then the lutefisk comes around. Now I will partake in it because I feel bad not eating it.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if it's a penance for what I've been wrong over the course of the year. This is like my instead of, you know, whipping myself on the back with a cat and nine tails, I eat the lutefisk.
That's appropriate. I mean,
so then you layer down the lutefisk fish, and then you roll it up like a burrito. And I forgot the butter, excuse me. You have the drawn butter that you ladle over the top of everything.
You wouldn't want it to be too healthy.
No, because and then you salt and pepper heavily.
Oh yeah. Well, and you got to.
And then you roll up. And then you eat it much like a burrito or enchilada if that's more of your style.
Yeah, I suppose.
Some people tuck the ends in. I'm of the, I just roll and
just go. Roll it up and go.
Just roll and go. Can't really pick it up. There's too much going on. A lot of butter. You could pick it up, but it's...
You're putting your life in your hands.
Well, then you're getting the lutefisk smell in your hands, and that's just not what you want.
Well, no, but you, if you just touch the lefse, you should be okay.
But the lutefisk... No, you're not just okay. It permeates.
Gotta eat it fast.
I'm still belching it up. I'm still belching up a little bit of it now.
Wow.
But
if you brush your teeth, that'll help.
You'd think. But we have that. We have a little bit of lingonberries or lingonberries.
Lingonberries.
I know. But I like to pronounce it every way.
You like to pronounce it wrong.
Yeah, we have that. We have a little bit of glog, which is a thick, almost syrupy type of drink that is mixed with rum.
All good things are with rum.
And a couple nuts in there to actually season it. Put like cinnamon nuts in there. But it's served warm.
Okay. You know,
so it's kind of like a little bit like a thicker, fruitier hot toddy.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You have that, and then you have Swedish meatballs, which are...
Always good.
Oh, my God. And my grandmother makes it.
She does.
Oh, holy crap. I will
agree with you.
It's a meal so heavy that I'm surprised I didn't sleep last night as well as I did. You know, like I must have had some caffeine way too late in the day, because usually that sucker knocks me out and I'm out for 10 to 12 hours, no questions asked. I mean, the amount of potato and meat and butter in that meal is shocking. It's absolutely shocking. So, I thought it's the start of the holiday season for me, and it kind of triggered other things in my mind. And I went on the interwebs to search for disgusting holiday food traditions from both here and around the world.
Okay.
And I discovered a few.
All right, hit me.
The funnier thing is that the second thing I found is what I partake with, or used to partake in, with the other side of my family, and that is gefilte fish.
Gefilte fish.
Which is a poached fish patty or fish ball.
See, I actually like gefilte fish.
Really?
I've had it.
See, I think I'd rather have the lutefisk than the gefilte
really?
Fish. Yeah, isn't that weird?
All your Hebraic ancestors
are rolling over in the graves.
They're spinning like a dreidel in their graves.
I was waiting for you to say something about the ovens, but was that too much?
Yeah, that was a bit too much. I'm offended.
Really? No, you're not.
And I have no Jewish in me. Just say you want to make
it. It doesn't work with you.
Yeah,
it doesn't work with you.
Yeah.
It doesn't work with you.
They did that one time.
But gefilte fish is poached fish patties and fish balls, and it's typically in its own primordial goo in a jar that's been sitting there since last Hanukkah.
Yes. See, gefilte fish, it's a big deal with very Orthodox.
Yes.
Because when you have the Pesach dishes, and I forget what the non-Pesach is. I used to...
Pesach.
No.
Okay.
No, I actually... We all did things in college to make money. I actually...
Sold your body.
No, I didn't have own money. No. I was friends...
This is no good. We don't want this one.
To charge a dumping fee. No.
Literally.
I still am good friends with a Jewish man at the radio station I work at.
Okay.
And his family is fairly traditional.
Thank you.
Is fairly traditional, and so they have their own dishes for Passover time, and then so, and a big thing I guess is that they can't touch things. So I hired myself out as basically rent a Gentile. Where I would go to their house, and I actually did like two or three different houses each year, where I would basically go to
rent
their
a
house.
Gentile.
Yes,
that's awesome.
I was tempted to actually start a business.
If this ever goes under, we know what we're gonna get into. Yeah. Rent a Jew and rent a Gentile.
Where basically I would go and I basically pack up their dishes for them.
That's awesome.
It's kind of like a moving company, but you're just moving stuff downstairs.
Sure.
You know, and you're just swapping the dishes out.
Rent a Gentile.
Yeah, and that's what it was.
That is awesome.
And I actually made some decent money at that. And it was always right around Christmas time, you know, when we had to switch them back.
Sure.
So there were several years where the rent a Gentile money was how I paid for Christmas presents, which, you know, would make just Jesus smile, I'm sure.
Your Jew money.
Yes.
Your dirty Jew money. So. Our first.
So you pour it on this?
I prefer to pour it. I like.
I'm gonna dip it. I'm gonna be a little more cautious.
We have our appetizers arrived. It's a steamed yak dumpling called a momo.
Okay.
And they're similar to a Chinese dumpling, except they have yak in them. But I like the texture of these better.
Yeah, and they're a little bit different mix. I mean, they're almost kind of like egg roll-y in their consistency because it's meat. And you also got onion, cilantro as well. And then the momos, they come with momo achar, which is a house sauce of cilantro, tomato, and spices. So
this is, it's no secret, I've eaten here quite a few times. This is one of my, this is fairly close to where I work. And I love this place, and this is my favorite thing on the menu. I would eat an entire or a full order of these by myself, no problem.
I'm starting to see why.
Mm-hmm.
These are damn good.
You see why I looked at you kind of funny when you ordered the half, we don't have to get the half order?
Well, that was more of a financial reason than anything else.
I know. Just saying. You can see where these are very, very craveable.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me.
Would you sneeze like a man? You're going to make yourself...
I would have blown the recorder off.
You're going to make yourself sterile. Keep sneezing like that.
Actually, I think I lost a few brain cells on that last one.
Isn't that good?
Yeah. And the Momo Achar, the sauce, it's very heavy on the cilantro.
Yeah.
Which is another kind of aspect, I believe, of Northern Indian cuisine. They use a lot more cilantro.
Mm-hmm.
They're damn good. Yeah, I've got nothing to comment. We haven't talked about our beer, by the way. We mentioned it, but we haven't talked about
what because we're at an Indian restaurant, I got a Summit IPA or India Pale Ale. Summit, local, big local brewery. And you got a...
I went with a Rush River, which is a Wisconsin brewery, actually. And went with their Unforgiven Amber Ale. And I like it. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time that I remember that I've had Rush River. And it's very fruity.
Blue moonish. It's a little blue moonish.
It's an amber, so it's not like a wheat.
Well, it's unfiltered though.
It's unfiltered, yeah. So you do get a little bit of that, and there's a lot more taste of citrus, just very very kind of. It's not fruity like a lambic or like an actual fruit beer.
No.
But it's very much beer
undertones.
Yes, subtleties.
Yeah. A little bit of undertones, eh? God damn it, those are good.
Those are amazing.
Yeah. So, I'm all right. Gotta have the Yakimomos every once in a while. I get a little bit of a craving. And I have to come down here and grab my usual 10 to 15 of them.
And the dough is a good consistency.
Yep.
I was thinking, you'd only want this in the kind of the dumpling skin. You wouldn't want to do this like fried.
No, that's the thing. Because they have fried ones on the menu.
Yeah.
But they're better this way.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah, I know. I without having tried the fried versions, I can see that.
I think it's the tenderness of the meat as
yes.
well. Which I think you'll really enjoy because you're getting more yak.
I'm getting more yak.
Yak-yak-a-dak.
Yakety-sacks.
Yep. Continuing with our list of disgusting holiday foods.
Yeah, from really good stuff to terrible stuff.
The other thing I found was Smalahove.
Smalahove?
Yep. Which is...
Is that another Norwegian thing?
Another Scandinavian, if you will.
What is it about my people and terrible food?
Well, my people, too.
Yeah, I suppose.
To a lesser extent. Smalahove is sheep's head that's been torched and fleeced.
Okay.
And then it is dried. And then it's...
You wouldn't want a wet sheep head.
Well, you dry it, and then you salt it and cure it. And then when that's been salted and cured, then you boil it with potatoes and rutabaga.
So...
The brains, the eyeballs, the cheeks, the...
Okay, that was my
jowls,
question. That was my question.
The whole
head. It's the whole head.
The whole
head. So, I mean, you got
head.
The skull and
the snout.
All that stuff.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Because, you know, haggis...
It gives you another, it gives you another aspect of save the neck for me, Clark, type of deal.
Yeah. No, haggis is kind of the gold standard when you want to bring up kind of what sounds to be disgusting foods.
Well, it looks like hair. It looks like a hair. It looks like something a cat yacked up.
Well, not if you make it right, but regardless.
You've had haggis made right?
I have had it, and I enjoy haggis.
Really?
Yes.
You're a disgusting human being.
Well, that's true, but for other reasons.
Mm.
But, haggis I get, because it's all soft tissue. Because, it's the sheep's stomach, and then you got other organ meats and potatoes and spices and things like that. But it's all basically soft. It's basically a giant version of, like, a dumpling.
Sure.
Okay, without the breading. The breading, in this case, taking the sheep's stomach's role, in this case.
Yeah.
The sheep's head doesn't make any sense to me because it's the bones. It's like the skull would seem to me be a big impediment, even if I wasn't, like, a freak for bones in my food. Like, it's a lot of things to navigate around.
It's too much work.
It's too much work.
But even if it gets to the pig cheeks are really soft and
oh, I love pig cheeks.
But you have to get around the bone to get to them.
Not if you get it right. You just get them. You get them deboned. You get.
This brings up an interesting quandary.
Oh,
if you will.
You shook your jowls at me in anticipation.
We're going to navigate away from the strange holiday thing into a bone issue. You today had a pork chop.
I did.
On a bone.
No. No, I did not.
You said you picked it up like a lollipop.
Yeah, I stuck my fork in it and ate it like a fudge pop.
So you had a boneless.
It was a boneless pork chop.
God, you're taking all the fun and all the meat and all the
If anything, there was more meat because there's no bones. No wasting real estate here.
You're a communist, is what you are.
I'm efficient. If communism means you crave efficiency, then yes.
And taste, and you lack taste.
No, well, true. I hang out with you, but wow. Yeah, that's right.
You wouldn't even know that half of these places that we go to wasn't for me.
I have the internet. I can find every place.
You'd still be eating hamburgers at 5'8" or 5'7" or whatever the hell it's called.
5'7". You don't even know what the place is. Call yourself a food blogger.
Don't care. It's inferior. Here we go again.
Let's not start that holy war.
Let's not go down that road.
That reminds me, next year we need to get James Norton on.
Yes.
I made fun of him today on Facebook.
Easily mocked.
He is, and he takes it like a good sport. He is there's a web comic out there. I didn't post it to our Facebook page, but I posted it on my personal one, and it's called Married to the Sea.
Okay.
And basically, it's similar. It's basically funny captions to clip art.
Okay.
Okay. And it's in this particular one, it was like clip art for like canning. So it had like pickles in the jar and it was doing all this stuff. And the caption was basically canning for all those people that think they're too good to go to actually shop at the grocery store. Or something like that. Something like that.
Spot on.
And I posted that and I linked James in there. James Norton from HeavyTable.com and said, I don't know why, but this just makes me think of James.
Oh my God.
He commented back, he's like, yeah, that sounds about right. So he owns it. He owns it. This is a man who, on his website not a week ago, was complaining about the misrepresentation of the history of Wisconsin cheesemaking in a book.
What a food elitist.
Well, he did write a book on Wisconsin cheesemakers.
That's fine. That's fine and dandy. I'm just saying. Shop at Cub.
If you're, I'm sure he shops at Cub.
I guarantee you he doesn't shop at Cub.
Maybe we should ask him.
I will bet you.
Maybe let's make this a test.
I will bet you a beer.
I know. Here's what we do. We make this a test to the show. Let's ask James Norton to comment.
Yeah.
Either on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Or in the show notes for this show.
Okay.
Do you shop at human restaurants?
Shop at
human grocery stores. So I don't know why.
And by human, we mean Cub, Rainbow.
Now, would you accept Lunds?
I would accept Super Tuck, and that's it. Lunds.
So you wouldn't
Lunds
even accept
Byerly's
Lunds?
Is the same. No, Lunds and Byerly's is the same company.
So it's different places.
It doesn't matter. They are the same.
It's like saying Walmart and Sam's Club are the same place. They're not.
No. They're not, but I also wouldn't shop at either one of them, so it doesn't matter.
Well, that may be true. But yes, this will be a test for James if he actually listens to this show.
Yeah.
Which he says he does. So if he doesn't comment by next show, we'll know.
We'll know. And
we'll know he's a dirty liar.
But we also have another question to ask him when he's on the show.
When he's on the show, that's right. Yeah, he only listens when he's on the show. Yeah. So.
There's no way he's out. Yeah, I guarantee you it's Whole Foods, it's Kowalski's.
I don't even know where there is a Whole Foods around here.
Whole Foods off of Excelsior in Uptown.
Is there?
Or it's kind of, it's more Lake Calhoun.
Hmm.
There's one in Burnsville.
Yeah.
It's kind of on my way home. Every so often I'll shop there. Whole Foods isn't nearly as granola as the Wedge, so I appreciate it more.
Yeah.
It's still the same ilk.
When I was living near there, when I was living in Uptown, we'd always shop at either the Wedge or Lunds, and on occasion Kowalski's.
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty rare that we'd do. But then the alternate is, since we spend a lot of time in Roseville on the weekends, do a lot of Super Target.
Right.
So we kind of balanced it.
I hate the Wedge.
Why?
It's the granola elitist.
Yes, but you have to try their garlic lovers pasta.
I will make it a point, because you've remarked about it many times on the show.
In fact, I'm craving it right now. Well, if I didn't have yak inbound, I would get up and
they're
go
waving it in. That's right. Speak.
There's a woman with two flashlights in the kitchen right now.
It's either that or it's a 747. We're not sure.
One of those two. I don't know. No, we should say real quick about the yak real quick. It's not actually imported. It's actually local yak. It's local yak. Which sounds like a really terrible like public access talk show.
I think it's actually a great band name if you want. If you're
Anyway. No, there's a yak farm. Is it a, would you call it a ranch?
Yak ranch?
A yak ranch?
It rolls off the tongue
a little bit. Yeah. A yak ranch in Cold Spring.
Farmery?
Isn't it farmery?
Farmery?
Yeah. Were you hit on the head? Farmery?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? A yak plantation.
It sounds like any better than my farmer.
At least it's a word. I didn't make up a word for it.
Oh, yes, Massa.
That's right. But this is, they're actually local to Hooper's Christmas Tree Ranch in Cold Spring, Minnesota. So, and you can find out more information.
Is that near Hooper's store on Sesame Street?
You can find more information on yak and yak meat at www.yak-man.com.
Yakman.
Yakman.
Awesome. That's neat. So to finish up,
what were we talking about?
Circling back to our disgusting holiday food, I discovered a unique tradition in our neighbors to the far east in Japan.
Not really our neighbors.
It's
like saying you and I are neighbors because we live in the same state.
Neighbors, my friend. We are all alike. We are all of God's children. God, I just made myself a little sick there.
Yeah, you should.
And that is the tradition in Japan to have KFC.
I've heard that.
And it's...
lamb tandoor?
Yep.
Rice and yak choy lam.
All right.
And I'll get plates for you.
Thank you. I don't know why we need plates.
Pulling out what I thought I was getting. Whatever. Just, yeah.
So KFC.
KFC in Japan. KFC does an extensive marketing campaign in Japan around the holiday season.
Do you need anything else?
I'm good.
Okay. Thank you. They do an extensive marketing campaign in Japan to Japanese people and to market KFC. Get a bucket of KFC at Christmas time. And they have holiday buckets and everything.
Nice.
We saw a Japanese baby holding a bucket of KFC. It was quite adorable.
But Japanese babies are, by and large, very adorable.
Right, as opposed to American babies.
Which are largely piggish and overly pink.
Yeah. Really?
That's right. Yeah. I said it.
So, that is our little soiree into...
No, that doesn't surprise me. And
well, it just seems very odd to me. That just seems a little bit like an odd left field choice.
Well, okay. Here's a weird. I don't think this is intentional, but this is gonna be. I'm having rambles about goofy shit for a couple minutes. In my years on this planet, as a cultural observer. I've noticed a very strange affinity for the Japanese culture and Jewish mythology.
Jewish mythology.
If you've ever played, especially in like the anime, Jewish mythology. Like they're bringing in, like I'm talking like hardcore like Kabbalah and like. Serious Old Testament, like Dead Sea Scrolls kind of stuff, okay?
Okay.
They love mixing that stuff in with their anime and their video games, things like that.
Okay.
And here in America, there is a bit of a tradition for Jewish families on Christmas to go eat Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if there's some sort of...
the only thing that's open.
I'm wondering if there's some sort of weird... karmic feedback loop where the Japanese at Christmas have to eat American food.
It's the circle of life.
This is one of those thoughts where if I had read it, someone else say it, I would think they were high. Like, these are the kind of thoughts that you have when you're stoned out of your gourd and watching.
Put on
your
normal everyday basis.
Yeah, no, this is just my normal thoughts. So I don't know where I was really going with that, but I just thought that was interesting. So what did you get?
Well, I don't think I got the right thing.
Okay.
Did I have the menu?
Yes.
Why don't you explain what you got first?
Well, I gave you the menu.
I know.
But what I got was what's called a yak choya.
Yeah, I got the right thing.
You did get the right thing?
Yep.
All right. Well, you have the menu. Tell the people what you got.
I got the beta ko sukua, which is boneless tender lamb marinated in house yogurt sauce, roasted and served on a bed of sliced onion, tomato, and green pepper, and topped with fresh cilantro, and served with a house mint sauce. And I haven't gotten a chance to really dive into it yet, but we're getting there.
Hmm. What I've got here, like I said, it's the yak choya. Now, choya is it's filleted meat,
mm-hmm.
and marinated in that house yogurt sauce,
mm-hmm.
and the spices. Roasted in a tandoor oven, which is very Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's sliced up, and then it's tossed in, and it's kind of sautéed with onions, green peppers, and tomatoes, and other spices. So in this case, I got boneless yak meat. Again, with green peppers, got good slices of tomato in there, got some great red onions, and a nice little spicy blend in there.
Too hot, or is it just right?
I think it's a good mix. I mean, it's definitely Indian style hot,
mm-hmm.
Where you feel it,
your flow.
Yeah, but no, it's the vegetables are perfectly cooked. Still have a nice kind of a tooth to it, and but still obviously sautéed briefly.
So, explain the tenderness of the yak meat. Sorry.
Perfect timing.
I apologize.
No, the yak meat is delicious. It's it is perfectly tender. I'm really starting to experiment more with kind of Indian cooking styles without making the Indian cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, marinating meat in dairy, either in yogurt or mostly yogurt, but I mean, you'll sometimes get stuff where you're just marinating them in like a flavored milk, mm-hmm. kind of style. I have yet to be disappointed with it, which is weird because I dislike yogurt. Like, I can't eat straight yogurt.
Yogurt scares me, much like, so the same way that a lot of dairy scares me, that I have a hard time telling the difference between something that's still good and something that has gone bad. There's a thin line between love and hate in dairy.
Mm-hmm.
And that if I were to use something like cooking in yogurt, I wouldn't know how is this supposed to be.
What do you mean?
I guess there's a certain amount of hesitation on my part. That in my mind, you take the lid off a yogurt container and it would go bad pretty instantly. In my mind, and I know that's just a misconception.
Aha! I see one of the sources of the
meat. I saw that. I was kind of hoping you were going to fork that in your mouth.
Well, nowhere on the list of peppers was a jalapeno. So, that was a bit of a surprise.
Mm. You took it like a man, though.
Oh, no, I am. It's here, damn it. I gotta eat it.
Mm.
What I like about the way they prepared the yak was you get a good mix from piece to piece. you get a good mix of really, really tender, and then that nicely blackened. You get little bits of the just the blackened where it's just really got a nice sizzle on it.
Yeah.
You get that
gristle.
That bit. It's not gristle, but it's just that bit of char that just adds to it, especially in a spicy dish like this. It just adds to that kind of flavor profile.
I love it.
Nice.
I'm tempted to just let the show finish and we just eat this, but.
Well, our next thing.
I was hoping we'd talk about this, actually.
I'm going to chew this here. Our next thing has to do with Congress just passed the Child Nutrition Act.
Which I think the first time in like 40 years, 30
years, that there's been any sort of child nutrition reform for in the schools, that is.
Are you doing okay here?
Yep. And what this act was basically meant to do is both provide money for school lunch programs to remodel or refine school lunch programs, but also to give money to schools so they could provide for low-income families to actually get school lunches for these kids. That otherwise would not be able to afford it. But there are some other smaller earmarks in there as well. Not necessarily bad things, but definitely had to be an interesting battle when it came to lobbyist groups and what the act is going to account for is it's about $4.5 billion it will add $4.5 billion in spending to the school lunch programs, or the federally funded school lunch programs.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first remodel in 30 years, so effectively since I was a child, or was born,
yep.
This is the first time it's ever been refined. What it breaks down to, like if you have kids in school, it's about 6 cents per meal.
Doesn't that sound very much?
But if you break it down in how they're prepared,
mm-hmm.
It actually is quite large. Especially if you, even though I find it to be completely unwatchable in every single sort of way, is those money-saving meals with Sandra Lee.
Yes.
Where she breaks everything down by the cent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's quite remarkable. You know, she's obviously not doing the work, but to actually see where every red cent is going is definitely interesting. What this will also do is expand the number of options in the lunch line, which I'm all for.
Yeah.
I always ate a hot lunch. I don't know about you, but I was
always
hot lunch. And I very rarely wanted the salad bar, but if I had a third option, I might be more willing to take it.
We didn't even get the salad bar until we were at least in junior high.
Yeah.
So, and we've talked about this before. There's been a lot of foods that I've had that because of the substandard preparation in elementary school and junior high and high school, where I like completely swore the stuff off.
Really?
Burritos.
You don't eat burritos anymore?
No, I'm saying I didn't have like a proper burrito till I was in high school. Because the way that they did it in the elementary schools, it was so disgusting.
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't like pizza for a very, very long time because of school lunch.
Well, that's because you're a communist and your parents raised you badly.
No. Because I'd had good pizza, and then I'd see it on the menu at school. We did a show probably a year and a half ago from Fireside Pizza in Richfield.
Yes.
Which is the pizza I grew up on. Good pizza. I mean, it's good quality pizza. The antithesis was this: is if you go 2.5 miles up Penn to Armitage Elementary, which is where I went to elementary school, is that they had a pizza that was cooked at a different school and then put it in a box, and then you picked up the box off the hot lunch line.
Nice.
That's messed up.
Yeah, it is.
But you can see where I kind of became turned off by pizza after a while.
Yeah, I can see that.
So,
but no, I think giving more options, not only is it just good in general, but we brought this up in the Masa episode this summer, where I think there should be more ethnic cuisine. I think there should be Tibetan food, or Nepalese.
But our kids going to eat it?
Here's the thing about Hot Lunch and the kids that are on that program.
Yeah.
They will eat just about anything you throw at them.
But I think kids are pickier than what we imagine them to be.
But there's a lot that can be done. I mean, I'm not saying make it spicy. I'm not saying do anything like that. But there are ways to get people used to... Here's a great example. When I was in ninth grade, we were doing the Greek mythology unit you know the story.
You've told the story on here before.
Have I?
Mm-hmm. It's funny. You might as well tell it.
Okay, we were doing Greek mythology in an English class, and we had to do a project, and because I was a slacker, I decided I was going to make Greek food. Because that somehow relates to Greek mythology and English. And so what I made was something called tirpatakia, which is they're kind of like phyllo dough cheese wontons.
What kind of cheese is in there, Evan?
Traditionally, it's a mix. It's a half and half mix between cream cheese and feta, which is goat cheese. Knowing the uncivilized people that we went to school with, I left back some of the details when I passed them on. Everyone was really enjoying it.
You're a terrible person.
More because I just wanted to see the reaction. But it was then after everyone had one, I told people what was in it. And God bless her, Micah Tice. Now it goes by Micah Tice Commander, which is the best name ever. She vomited.
In class.
Mm-hmm. At the mere concept of eating goat cheese. And which amused the hell out of me. But I think if you get kids into stranger foods, and by that I mean ethnic cuisine, you know, not just Mexican, not just Italian, but, you know, get Asian food. Do not Chinese, because you can kind of get that anywhere, but, you know, or just Chinese. Traditional Chinese.
Well, yeah, don't do egg foo young.
Yeah.
Or chow mein.
Yeah.
Ish.
You know, do more traditional Chinese. Do Japanese food. I mean, there's a lot of Japanese food that's not sushi. You know, but, you know, it wouldn't hurt to do a sushi, you know.
And I would have taken the sushi option every day.
Oh, yeah. Not that I would necessarily trust the lunch ladies to make sushi.
No.
That's definitely one you want to have brought in.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, too. But no, I think that'd be a fantastic idea, because you get people used to ethnic cuisines, you know. They may not like it, you know, but there's going to be enough. It certainly can't hurt, is what I'm saying.
I don't think it would have worked when we were in junior high and high school.
Why not?
Because I think that the mindset and the population of schools changed that much, and that I think that it's much more multicultural, and I think that kids are going to be much more open to...
All the more reason to do it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying...
No, I think
now is the time to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think it would have gone over with like a lead balloon.
It would have
in school.
It would have, yeah.
It would have been a smattering of people that would have been like, absolutely, we're all for this,
mm-hmm.
but just could not get off the ground. But I think, at least in the Minneapolis area, where
even the suburbs.
I'm including the suburbs.
Okay.
You know, second and third ring, and you know, fourth ring suburbs.
Yeah.
Where the multicultural immersion is definitely happening,
mm-hmm.
and now is the time to do something like this, where you're bringing in Mexican, Chinese, Japanese, Tibetan, Indian,
Somali. I mean, you know, Eastern Africa.
That's gonna be a tough sell. I'm just saying, but
think of it this way: Imagine all those Somali kids. Mm-hmm. You know, all the Ethiopian kids that are moving out to the burbs. Mm-hmm. What about Hmong cuisine? I mean, the Hmong population in the suburbs. Vietnamese. Huge in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. And the suburbs are where, is, sadly enough, and you know, and we slag on the suburbs a lot on this show. Mostly me.
Yeah. Let's be honest here.
The suburbs are the places where they need the most exposure to that stuff. You know, city kids, they're gonna get, they have access to these things. When was the last time you saw a Somali restaurant in Belle Plaine?
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
Exactly, that's my point. So, I don't know if that's where they're going with this, but I certainly can't hurt. But we should.
Yes or no?
We should wrap up because I don't know how much longer these batteries.
Well, do you want to mention the little thing about Stanley's Barn, which we did a.
Sure.
Why don't you?
Oh yeah. Stanley's, we did this show about a month and a half ago, from Stanley's Bar, Northeast. Mm-hmm. And we were, I think it's safe to say, not fans.
Difficult.
We
were difficult on them.
We were a bit tough on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been kind of the standard theme through a lot of the reviews. Okay, the spice has now loosened up the mucus glands in the nose.
You're welcome.
Got my nose running. Anyway, so yeah, Stanley's is definitely not won over the critics. And from our highly unscientific poll of every time we drive by there on the way home, the crowds have gotten smaller and smaller.
They've dwindled
a bit. And so last week they posted, I posted this on our Facebook page, Stanley's posted a message on their Facebook page that basically, we have heard your concerns. And we're going to be radically changing how we do the restaurant and the bar, which is weird because I didn't see any problems with the bar. The bar was fine.
We didn't sit at the bar either.
We didn't sit at the bar, but I'm talking in terms of beer selection and things like that. I thought they were pretty good.
How are you guys doing so far?
Good.
Very good.
Do you want some boxes?
Yes, please.
Do you want to try some desserts too?
I'm good.
I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you. I think but they were talking about they said adjust their portion sizes. I would assume they mean smaller.
Smaller?
But it's hard to say because I was actually fine with their portion sizes.
I just thought it was poorly executed.
It was, and it sounds like they're gonna change the menu. They're gonna add a lot more options.
Yeah.
And it's one of those where I'm very curious to see what they do because the things that they address, the portion sizes, the bar, the choices, that wasn't our problems with it.
Our problems were the overall taste and
yeah, it just technique. it wasn't yeah, it just wasn't making it. So
right.
So I'd be curious to try them out again. I don't know if we'll do another show there. Just for, because we got a lot of other places to hit.
Absolutely.
Thank you. But yeah, I thought that was cool. It's rare that I've seen a place, you know, come to, it basically acknowledged, like, hey, we're not doing what we should be doing, and right. We're going to redo this. Because you look at the stuff, again, going back to Heavy Table. Heavy Table had an article today about the shakeups at Town Talk.
That's right.
And Town Talk, they've kind of hit this. And granted, I haven't really followed the story too much. But it sounds like they're kind of taking the tack where it's like, just hang on. It'll all make sense. Don't worry about it. And meanwhile, you've got people just ragging on because of the changes and all of that. So you've got mass employee walkouts, things like that. And it's just, and, you know, Town Talk's reaction has been basically, you know, it's been almost a non-reaction. It's like, you know, we're taking care of this, you know, we're fine. You know, or it's like, not that we're taking care of this, it's just we're changing.
Right.
They're not acknowledging anything is wrong. So I have to give Stanley's credit for basically saying, yeah, we fucked up.
Yep. Messed up. I mean, straight up. Misfire.
Yeah, I definitely think so.
And they're doing it at the right time. They're not trying to stick to the laurels until everything dwindles down. They have no shot of getting anybody back. I think that now, if you're going to do it, you're a few months into it, you're kind of seeing what's working, what's not working. Mm-hmm. Now is the time to make that change. And hopefully they can right the ship because it's in a good location. They put a lot of money into the building. It looks nice inside.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a good, solid area. It's got plenty of foot traffic and, you know, passerby traffic.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why it shouldn't be successful. Just hope that they can right the ship as far as the food is concerned.
Yeah. Speaking of the food, as the food is concerned,
mm-hmm. was wonderful.
Two things. One, can I steal all the rice?
Absolutely.
All right, very good.
Absolutely. I'll probably be back here again this week. Momos, man.
I will give you credit on that one. Momos were pretty damn good.
That's best appetizer in the Twin Cities, as far as I'm concerned. And that's saying something.
I think those would be good the next day.
Absolutely. I've had them the next day.
Well, maybe I'll pick up a to-go order.
They are absolutely good the next day. And the day after, come to think of it, actually.
Do those have cilantro in them?
Yes, they do.
They do, okay.
Yeah, they do.
Maybe I won't then.
It's not much, though. It's minimal.
Yeah. Anyway.
But, again, thumbs up to this place.
Thumbs up for guessing the right box size,
that
too.
That was just about perfect. Yep. But I can't say enough good things about this place. It's one of my favorite places in the Twin Cities. I like to come here because it's both quiet, but the food is good. And I've never had to wait for a table here, which is also very, very good. But it's always been, you know, even on like a Friday or Saturday night, it's always been very, very busy. But they always are seating people right away.
Mm-hmm.
So
I completely agree. The Yak is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to Bison, I would say, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I would need to try more to really kind of get into the intricacies between the two, but it's very similar. It's that kind of mix between a beef and a game, kind of
earthy. There's an earthiness to it.
Yeah, and but yeah, it was fantastic. It was good spice. I got the medium on mine, which I think was a good level.
Yeah.
It was noticeable, but not overpowering. So I think, right. And I think that's exactly what medium should be.
Right.
So that was good to see, because this place seems a little authentic. And anytime you have authentic, spicy cuisine, their scale is very different than
it hurts.
It's like they're mild. Will just peel the first coat of paint off the wall.
Yeah.
Whereas the hot will take it to the studs.
Yeah.
You know? So. But yeah, it was stellar.
Yeah.
I got nothing else to say with it. So we're all holding our breath while she was doing that.
Yeah.
Do we want to mention the Groupon?
Yes, we should mention the Groupon.
It's on the floor right now. So.
Yeah, because that's would be why it's not live for the. The final bill.
Yeah.
But the wonderful thing that I've found a couple times now is a thing called Groupon. And it's just Groupon.com, and you can enter it in for your city wherever you are. Go to www.groupon.com and enter in your city, and they will give you, it's essentially a daily deal that's emailed to you. And it's usually like a half off or 60% off. Or I mean, I've seen
something ridiculous.
70 and 80% off. But it's a one day only.
So it was the part of the I actually remember reading an article about Groupon where it was basically like this person was making the comment that it might almost be bad for small business because of how big the deals are.
Right,
like they're going to be losing money.
Yeah, on those days. But I think, you know, it's. I went to a place called Tiger Sushi in Uptown. It was the first Groupon that I used, and it was half off of 50, and. It was. I got it to go. It was damn good sushi in a place that I normally wouldn't go, and would go back there. So it got me in the door.
Yeah.
And got me wanting to come back again. So we have a $20 Groupon to here that we'll be applying to today's bill. So it makes a place that is typically a little bit more pricey, much less expensive.
Right.
So
anyway. We're going to take off, though, and as always, we are brought to you by HopChart.com. Love Andrew and all the things that the site is doing. We want to thank Facebook for not kicking us off, despite all the pornography that Dave posts to our page.
Even though I don't maintain that, I maintain the Twitter.
I'm still blaming you.
Not gonna work.
I know.
I'm the Twitter person.
That's true.
I'm part of the Twitterati.
Don't stop trying to make that work.
I'm going to. I'm gonna run that sumbitch to the ground.
Facebook.com/wellfedguide and Twitter.com/wellfedguidefpg. You can follow us and all that good stuff. I want to quick welcome all of the. I was recently added to a group of Minnesota food bloggers. On Facebook, so
you haven't blogged about a food yet?
No, the Duluth thing like 6 months ago.
Sure,
it counts. But I know a bunch of them are going to be listening to the show for the first time. So Welcome all of y'all.
Come aboard.
Listen, all y'all.
All y'all.
Every time I hear all y'all, I just think of Sabotage at that point.
I was going the same route.
I know. Anyway.
God, we're unlistenable.
Yeah, we are. I just ruined all the goodwill we had made.
Really did.
But yeah, we did the Twitter, did the Facebook. Check out the website, facebook.com. Check out our Kickstarter program to rebuild our studio. We're trying to raise some money. We got a big cash injection on Friday, but we still have quite a ways to go. So just go to...
Make it sound dirty when you say
know,
like that.
bit.ly/pantscommand, and you can donate some money there. We have till the end of December to raise $2,000, and we're, I think, about 30% of the goal. So we still have quite a ways to go.
Give often. Don't give to Jerry's kids. Give to us.
No, Jerry's kids, they're going to die anyway. That's fine. That's right.
Wow.
Happy holidays.
Oh, my God. You're a terrible person.
I am indeed. So,
holy crap.
On behalf of Dave, the hater of Jerry's kids for more years than I can count, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.